Remembering Dolly.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Tributes are pouring in for Dolly Parton. The country music legend, songwriter, and philanthropist died today. Her publicist says at home in Nashville, Tennessee. Parton was known for her massive hits over six decades, including I Will Always Love You, along with Jolene.
Jolene.
Parton paved the way in the music world and also turned her music success into a learning ground. Her nephew, Brian Seaver, today says the family will continue her work.
Generations of singers, songwriters, musicians, and dreamers from every walk of life and across every continent. By her example, we believe that anything was possible.
Parton also went on to win the hearts in Hollywood, acting in 9 to 5 and also Steel Magnolias and other films. She also used her name and fame for charity and opened Dollywood in Tennessee's Smoky Mountains. The family did not disclose the cause of death. Dolly Parton was 80. This is ABC News.
Dolly Parton played North Texas several times over the years. First, way back in 1977 in Fort Worth at Panther Hall. Her last concert, 2023, she played during the Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game, and she dressed up as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. In her honor, the president's lowering the American flag to half staff starting tonight.
Governor Abbott activating the state's wildfire response resources as the Ross Fire in Palo Pinto and Jack counties continues to rage out of control. So far, only 50,000 acres have burned, and according to the Texas A&M Forest Service, only 8% of it is contained. Here's Chris Fox.
With temperatures well over 100 degrees and wind gusts up to 27 miles per hour, the Ross Fire expanded to 50,000 acres over the past 24 hours, primarily spanning across central Palo Pinto County and extending north into southern Jack County. Bo Adler of the Texas A&M Forest Service says they've been inserting engines and Dozier task forces on highways 180, 254,
and highway 337 to work to contain and protect structures along the flanks of the fire.
As the smoke clears, we've seen the destruction at Worth Ranch Scouting Camp. Good news from Scouting America Longhorn Council. No scouts, campers, or guests were impacted by the fires, and camp personnel were safely evacuated. From the 24-hour news center, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Firefighters in Fort Worth busy fighting a three-alarmer that broke out at the Mariposa Apartments near 30 and Green Oaks Boulevard.
Right now, we're approximating the fact that we've got about 50 units here. It's a courtyard-style apartment, so it's kind of open in the center. This is a guess right now, but about 50 units. We're figuring about over 100 people that are displaced at the moment.
That's Craig Trochik from the Fort Worth Fire Department. Six people suffered smoke inhalation, two of them firefighters. On all of them, be okay.
The U.S. and Canada getting close to an all-out trade war. Effective September 8th, Canada is going to put in place tariffs of 15%, 25%, and 50% on some American goods going into that country, effectively matching the tariffs the U.S. applied to the same goods. Here's ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
What the U.S. has imposed here, $20 billion, accounts for about 5% of the imports, 5% of the stuff that we buy from Canada total. But of course, now you've got this new threat of Canada, another $20 billion, that dollar for dollar, and then the risk becomes, how much more does this escalate? When you hear that rhetoric, this is an incredibly closely entwined relationship. There is the potential for this to escalate further and even dent that number more when you think about the cost for people at home.
A new estimate from the Yale Budget Lab says this will cost the typical American household $1,100 a year.
Dallas City Council votes to get rid of the College Advisory Commission. It's set up to give college students a formal voice in city government and let them advise the council and city manager on issues. That commission also reviewed policies and supported student engagement.
There are 8 vacancies on the College Advisory Commission. I think college is super important, but the city is not the right place to advise people on college. And we have wonderful educations of higher learning as well as school districts that are much better qualified to work with their residents to provide any kind of advisory services.
Councilwoman Kara Mendelson says the city should have never been in that business. She says the group struggled to recruit members and keep a quorum.
This year at the State Fair of Texas, you can trade the rodeo for a rock show inside Fair Park Coliseum. KRLD's John Little has the big change coming to the fair.
Don't you cry no more.
For nearly 30 years, the Chevy Main Stage has been an outdoor fixture at the fair, but not this year.
Kansas and the other headlining acts will be inside the Fair Park Coliseum, creating a new concert-style experience through the 24-day run. It comes after the fair decided to pause its rodeo and horse shows for 2026 as it reevaluates programming. The fair has not said the rodeo is gone completely. Just like before, there's no extra concert ticket. Main stage shows are included. Seating will be first come, first served. From the 24-hour News Center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Texas Railroad Commission making a big change to how it holds public meetings to talk about the oil and gas industry. The public will not be able to speak at those public meetings. They have to listen in silence. Commissioners voted 2-1 to take out the public comment agenda item. They can individually ask for public comments. It just won't be normal, regular business at these meetings. Railroad Commission is holding more listening sessions, but the commissioners don't actually attend those.
Now the Cowboys report for Whataburger. Try the new Hot Honey Crisp Whata Chicken Sandwich from Whataburger, available for a limited time. Well, the Cowboys practice tonight at the Star in Frisco, and fans can come watch for free.
Fans will get to watch the competition at running back for the backup roles, a competition that head coach Brian Schottenheimer says has gotten tough.
They're making it hard on us. You know, I mean, they just all keep doing a good job with the tasks that they're given, the roles that they're given, and it seems like everyone that goes in there just does their job. I will speak to this. I thought Malik Davis was incredible from a pass protection standpoint. Very first play of the game, they fire the free safety in the backside B gap, and he steps up and just strikes him. And then there was a nickel blitz off the edge, and you know, he's playing with a lot of confidence.
And what about the backup QB? Shotty says Joe Milton has played two great preseason games.
I think, quite honestly, if you would just take the training camp competition, it's probably neck and neck, and Sam maybe a little bit ahead. That's why we actually started Sam in the first game, you know, against Seattle. But Joe's put together two really good performances, and this will be another fun week for them to keep battling.
One guy that has impressed everybody is linebacker Jayshon Barham.
The physical nature that he plays the game is real. You feel it. They felt it. He did run out of steam a little bit. He was hurting a little bit from a conditioning standpoint. That just comes from not playing. But he's the guy that maximizes opportunity, and he's earned more opportunities, and he plays the game the right way. And that play style that we were talking about, it was very cool for him in his very first game to see him do that.
Next up for the Cowboys is a Friday night preseason game against the Saints at home. From the 24-hour News Center, Austin York News Radio, 1080 KRLD.
College football, meanwhile, boy, that seems to be changing by the day. And now something else is happening that could have massive consequences for the game.
The Browns are waiving tight end Daquan Wright. And assuming he clears waivers, he has an agreement in place to play for LSU this season. He is now on the verge of becoming the first player to go from an NFL team to returning to play college football.
Wow.
And he wasn't the only one because just a few hours later, another, I think he was a guard who was on the Jets, said, yeah, I'll join you over there.
And he's going back.
And he's going back. So that's two.
And they may not be the last.
It is happening. We talked about this. We told you it was coming last week. NFL players, there's a ruling that was made by a judge. It's a long, convoluted explanation of how we got here. I won't bore you with the details. The bottom line is Daquan Wright, who since, I don't know, May, has been working with an NFL team, lining up with and against players in their 20s and 30s, is probably a week from now going to be playing against someone who was in high school last year.
All right, so let me get this right real quick. Defensive lineman from the Saints. His name is Xavier Harris. That's the other
committee. He wants to go back to college.
Yeah, he's going to go back to LSU.
So Daquan Wright, he's a pretty good college player. He's good enough to tap into some of that NIL money. At the pro level, though, he'd just be fighting for a backup job.
Yeah, he wasn't, and it was unlikely he might even make the team.
And in other words, at this point, there's more money for him playing college football. So he sued to go back and get a fifth year of eligibility, and he won. Former quarterback Dan Orlovsky doesn't like any of this. However,
I can't kill Daquan Wright for going back and getting more money than he might in the NFL and continuing that opportunity. I can't kill Lane Kiffin for taking a player that he thinks is going to help him win. This is what happens when you have severe poor leadership over a long period of time that takes advantage of situations. Players have been the driving force of the income in college football for a long time. We all know that they have not benefited from the revenue that they've generated. and it's just become this wild, wild west of an open can. I don't understand how, what happens if I am X team and I draft a kid that played college football for 3 years and I put him, take him in the second round. And after 2 years, he goes, this is not working out for me. I'm going back to play college football. Do I get my pick back? Do I get the money that I've given you back? Because that will happen. That is the next step where a draft pick, it doesn't work out. He goes back to make more money.
Yeah. In this case, Jaquan Wright was undrafted, but still from college to the pros and then back to college. If you graduate, can you even do that? Is there any eligibility
if
you
have some eligibility?
Diploma?
Think about that. If you had some eligibility, like let's say Kyler Murray, for instance. I use this example. He was a quarterback and this pro game ain't really working out. I do have an eligibility left. What if I go back to a college and they pay me X amount of money in IL? Could he do that?
Kyler Murray went back to college, OU.
Yeah, well, right. Wherever he went, whoever wanted to offer him the biggest contract.
I mean, at his age and with his, you know, as long as he's played in the NFL, yeah. That would be like the biggest story in college. But, and he would get a ton of NIL money.
Let me tell you, and this is now the Big Ten has come out with a decision. They're going to vote today, the school presidents of those schools. They're not going to allow this. If you draft or if you're drafted or you sign a contract in the NFL, you can't go back. But
SEC
hasn't done it, and you can't really blame Lane Kiffin. And out of all the people, we both knew Lane would be the guy to do this.
Yep.
But again, it opens up a massive can of worms.
It does. Like I said, these two aren't the last ones.
No, and so there better be a rule quick or else this is going to get out of hand.